Sporty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for Africa's highest-ranked football team, Ivory Coast, which is preparing for its third consecutive World Cup appearance. The elephants of Ivory Coast are grouped with Colombia, Greece, and Japan for the first round of Brazil 2014. Let's take a look at their schedule. The elephants will open their World Cup campaign against Japan on June 14th in Recife, Brazil. Then they will play Colombia June 19th in Brasilia, and Ivory Coast will wrap up group play against Greece June 24th in Fortaleza, Brazil. Ivory Coast was not able to get past the first round in its two previous World Cup appearances. I asked my Ivorian colleague, Lenore Madu, about the chances of the elephants advancing in Brazil.
I think they have a strong chance to get out of this group. Ivory Coast, the elephants, it's a very, very good team. And one African team that many people agree is very strong. We have to remember in the past, with the past World Cups in 2006, they were in a pool with a team like Argentina. In 2010 in South Africa, you had Brazil in their group. I think that this year they have a better chance as opposed to before. Colombia is definitely a strong team and the favorite, as many people say. With regards to Japan and Greece, I think that they have an equal chance at making it to the next step.
Lenore, who are some of the key players on the elephants of Ivory Coast?
Of course, I have to start with the captain, Didier Drogba.
Hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
Didier Drogba has led this team for several years now, and he has shown that he has been a very, very good soccer player with his past performances. We've seen what he has done with Chelsea. Now he's in Turkey with Galatasaray. And now we think that as a captain this year, he has a lot to prove. This might be his last World Cup because he's now 36, and I think he's going to give it his all. We also have, of course, Yaya Touré, who is the African Football Player of the Year.
Great player.
A great player. Yaya Touré is definitely a strong player in the team, a very good midfielder. And we also have Didier Zokora, who is also a midfielder, to count on. Yaya and Didier make a very good duo when they are on the field, so we definitely have to watch for them. And someone that I want to mention is one of the youngest of the team. He's 21. His name is Serge Aurier. Not very well known, but he's making stride in Toulouse. He plays in a French team, Toulouse, and I think that he's someone to watch in this World Cup.
Lenore, as we talk, Yaya Touré has 18 goals in the English Premier League. One of the top goal scorers.
Absolutely.
You think we're going to see some more goals from Yaya in Brazil?
Of course. I think we will see some goals from Yaya Touré. He has something to prove. He has to show that he is one of the best African players, and he's really a very good player. He has been very strong. He started in 2000 playing soccer in Côte d'Ivoire in the team ASEC Mimosa, and since then he has been very consistent in terms of showing that he's a good soccer player. I think we have to watch for Yaya Touré with the goals, and of course Didier Drogba always there with the last goal when you the least expect it. So.
Finally, Didier Drogba, such an inspirational captain for Ivory Coast. Is this the World Cup, in some sense, maybe his swan song, Lenore?
I guess in a way it's a bit emotional because, as I said earlier, I think This might be his last World Cup, and given that he's 36, in 4 years he will be 40, he might come back. I think he's still in good shape, right? But we're going toward the end as a captain, and he has something to prove. He has, unfortunately, he has not been very lucky to take the team to winning an international competition, given the Africa Cup of Nation that Cote d'Ivoire has never won under his leadership, and of course the World Cup that we haven't even passed the first step. So I think this is it for Didier Drogba. He has something to prove, and not only him, but the team also has something to prove. Cote d'Ivoire has a strong team. Individually, we have very, very good members in the team. But as a team, we just have to prove that collectively we can also be strong and win something. And this is maybe not this World Cup, but at least we have to move past the first step.
Lenore Madu, our special guest, right here.
Thank you, Sonny.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
More Ivory Coast football news now, and this item concerns a striker nicknamed the Gentle Giant for his 2.03 meters tall frame. I'm talking about 23-year-old Lassina Traore, one of the tallest professional footballers, who is currently on loan with Everton in the English Premier League from AS Monaco. Everton club officials say they're open to extending Traore's loan period, even though he's played very little for the English club because of a season-ending hamstring injury. Everton's Spanish manager, Roberto Martinez, says Lassina is recovering well, and clearly he'll be fully fit for the World Cup in June if he's selected for the Ivory Coast team. The Gentle Giant has played for the Ivory Coast under 23 team, and he was also selected for last year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in South Africa. But this would be his first World Cup appearance should Ivory Coast's French manager Sabri Lamouchi decide to include him. Well, one of our big sports stories this week was the 118th running of the Boston Marathon. Eritrea-born Meb Keflezighi of the United States won the men's title in 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 37 seconds, while Kenya's Rita Jeptu successfully defended her women's crown in a course record time of 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 57 seconds. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as Running Time senior writer Parker Morse in Boston reacts to Rita's course record.
That was an absolutely phenomenal race. Shalane Flanagan was of the USA was running with a lot of emotion from the beginning. She set a blistering pace down out of Hopkinton. They were ahead of course record pace the entire way. And then Jeptu really, she stuck with that lead from the beginning. And when they got into the hills and everybody else started to get weak, she really put the hammer down. And for somebody to win the Boston Marathon 3 times in their career, to set a course record doing it, to set a PR, and bear in mind that the first time Rita Jeptu won the Boston Marathon was 2006. So she's got an incredible career booked up now.
Let's go to the men's race, Parker. Meb Keflezighi, heroic performance. It looked like he ran front of the pack for a good portion of the race.
He did. Meb was in the lead either in the lead or in sight of the lead for almost the entire race. And again, somebody who, as soon as they reached the hills, Meb really kind of broke the race open coming out of Newton Lower Falls, which is the really the end of the downhills in Boston and the beginning of a series of climbs up into the last hill, Heartbreak. He really broke it open there, and the big surprise, I think, was that more of the athletes in the pack didn't take that move seriously and didn't move to close the gap until it was really too late.
At the later stages, Parker, did you think that Chibet, the Kenyan, was going to catch Meb? I mean, it looked like he was faltering a bit, but then he sort of regained strength.
It's entirely reasonable to say that that race was in question right up until the very end. Chibet was as close to Meb as 6 seconds, and that he was closing the gap in the last mile. And it was only in the very last mile of the course. For those who aren't familiar with the course has a short hill down and up again under Massachusetts Avenue, and then there's the only turns on the course. You make a right on Hereford and a left on Boylston, and it was really when they went under Mass Ave and started that right and left sequence that Meb really really had it in hand. Chibet tried really hard to close the gap and just couldn't get any closer than 6 seconds.
If we look at the history books, Parker, is Meb one of the older runners to win the Boston Marathon?
At 39, I think there are. I don't think that there are many. I don't think that there are many Boston winners, even as old. I think it might be probably to find an older Boston winner, we would have to go back to Clarence DeMar.
Meb, born in Eritrea, but he's been running for the United States for a long time. Looked like he had a lot of support out on the course, Parker.
Not just on the course. Apparently, when the results went up on the scoreboard in Fenway Park at the Red Sox baseball game, it was quite a roar.
Parker, as you know, a lot of emotions surrounding this 118th Boston Marathon after last year's tragic bomb blasts on Boylston Street. What was your sense about the mood?
You know, there was the real feeling of moving on. Because the marathon comes later in the calendar this year, the one-year memorial was actually last Tuesday. And so the feeling today was very much, we've remembered, and now we're going to start writing the rest of the history. We're going to move on. We're going to write some good stuff down. And there's a real strong feeling, even among the organizers, there's this feeling of, we know how to do this, and we're going to do it, and we're going to show people how it works when things are going well.
What's your take on the crowds on Monday, Parker? Record crowds in Boston?
There is no question in my mind. There were more people on the course than I've ever seen. I live in Natick, which is around the 10-mile mark, and watching the race go through Natick, there were more people than I've seen on the streets of Natick ever.
A lot of celebrities, I think, came back for this year's Boston. Any updates on that end, Parker?
Well, that depends on what you want to call a celebrity. as far as running celebrities go, we had Joan Benoit Samuelson, who's a two-time winner here and the Olympic gold medalist in 1984, the former men's champions Jalindo Bordin from 1990 and Ambie Burfoot from 1968, and then Uta Pippig, who was a three-time winner in the 1990s, actually meant to run the 5K on Saturday, arrived too late, and entered the marathon yesterday. So the first entrant to this year's Boston Marathon was Shalane Flanagan, who wound up finishing seventh, and the last was Uta Pippig.
Voice of America!
Parker, can you give our Voice of America listeners the breakdown on prize money for the top runners?
The first prize is you know, it's going to be tough to say because there are prize money bonuses that are going to get paid out, particularly for Jeptu, because Jeptu absolutely demolished the course record. The course record, which was Margaret Okayo's from 10 years ago, Jeptu took nearly 2 minutes off that. So they'll be adding up time bonuses in both races.
The 118th Boston Marathon, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Parker Morse, senior writer for Running Times magazine. The men's winner, Meb Keflezighi, first American, I think, Parker, since 1993 to win the Boston Marathon?
The first American male since 1983.
83.
First American
83.
At all since 1985.
Mm-hmm. Now, after he crossed the finish line, it looked like a former champion congratulated him, Parker.
I didn't spot that. What did you see?
Was it Greg?
Yes.
I thought
Greg Meyer.
Greg Meyer,
the last American man to win Boston in 1983. Greg has been going to the finish line for several years now because he has been very vocal about saying that he does not want to spend any more time being trotted out as the last American to win Boston, and now he's finally put that to bed.
Rita Jeptu, as you mentioned, Parker, three-time champion now on the women's side at the Boston Marathon. Where do you think she ranks now in terms of the great female runners at Boston?
Well, now she's the fastest ever, and I think that the span of time she sits up with Pippig, with Roba, and with Okayo as one of the best, certainly one of the top five, if not one of the best ever.
And Parker, I want to take nothing away from Meb Keflezighi and his winning time of 2:08.38, and yet there was some talk that we were going to see a much faster time in Boston, especially from some of the Kenyans. Did you think it would be a faster race?
Fast times in Boston are always dependent on the weather, and we're really waiting to the last minute to see what the wind is going to look like. And it turned out that they really had very favorable weather. It might have been a little bit warm, but the other part of it was that there was very aggressive running, particularly in the women's race, which was something of a surprise. I was expecting the women to be much more conservative.
Finally, Parker, in the disabled category, can you give us the men's and women's wheelchair winners?
Yes, Ernst van Dijk was the men's wheelchair winner. He's a South African. He's won here many times before, but most recently in 2010. So this is something of a comeback for him. And then on the women's side, the winner was Tatiana McFadden. She's a 25-year-old American from Illinois. And McFadden was actually our first charity runner. She was taking pledges and raising money for the memory of Martin Richard, who was one of the victims of the bomb attacks last year.
Parker Moore, senior writer for Running Times magazine. Parker, thank you for chatting with us from Boston.
You're quite welcome.
The Voice of America.
This is Sonny Sato Sports.
Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Meb Keflezighi of the USA and Rita Jeptu of Kenya, who won the men's and women's titles in Monday's 118th running of the Boston Marathon. The 38-year-old Keflezighi, who was born in Eritrea, became the first American in 31 years to win the men's title in Boston, clocking 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 37 seconds. And Rita Jeptu won her third Boston women's title, successfully defending her 2013 championship with a course record of 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 57 seconds.
It's not easy to run 3 times and to be a champion, but me, today I'm happy. I'm happy because I decided to come here in Boston to run again, to support people here in Boston and to show people here in Boston we are together.
This is probably the most meaningful victory for American, just because of what happened last year, this Patriots Day, and it happens in God's time. Just kept thinking, Boston strong, Map strong, Map strong, give it everything you have, and if I get beat it, that's it. But at the same time, I want to be able to finish strong. You know, toward the end, I had the 4 people that are victims that passed away, just like I was last year. I was a spectator, they were spectators, and I had my bib number, I wrote them out, and they helped me carry through.
That's Meb Keflezighi, the 2014 Boston Marathon champion, who says he was carried through to victory by the spirits of people killed in last year's bombings in Boston. We also heard from 3-time Boston Marathon champion Rita Jeptu of Kenya. Congratulations, Rita and Meb. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The world's oldest annual marathon was run for the 118th time earlier this week in the northeastern U.S. state of Massachusetts. This year's Boston Marathon was perhaps the most emotional in the long history of the race. It was held 1 year after two bombs went off near the finish line, killing three people and wounding more than 260. In the wake of the tragedy, the city adopted a simple slogan, Boston Strong, to both remember the victims and celebrate courage, leadership, and community. My friend Todd Gothberg, who completed his 16th Boston Marathon on Monday, says Boston Strong is all about a unifying spirit and strength that goes well beyond the physical traits required to finish a marathon. Todd did receive a finisher's medal in Boston. Let's listen in now to a few other runners who got a finisher's medal and tell us what it felt like.
It feels absolutely amazing. I finished last year, but I finished 20 seconds before the bombs went off. And my brother was a mile behind me, so he didn't get to finish. So it's amazing to, I didn't even have a medal put over me last year, and to have somebody place a medal on me is just awesome.
It felt absolutely incredible. When you look at the events of last year, the tragedy of last year, we earned this. We worked hard for this, and this was our year. It felt amazing.
Coming back as a survivor from the bombings last year and being able to complete it again is amazing.
It was a very emotional day today. You know, it was really, really filled up so many times today thinking about what happened last year and just looking at this beautiful day and grateful, you know, that we could all be here. It's sad to see policemen and sad for the way we had to run the race today, but grateful that we get to run the race today.
You've been listening to a few runners who finished the 118th Boston Marathon on Monday.
Hi, I'm Shegun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports, from the Africa Service of the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on!
This is for the world.
Game on, sports fans. Earlier, we heard Running Time senior writer Parker Morse mention 1983 Boston Marathon champion Greg Meyer. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out now for another Greg, my VOA engineer, Greg Burns. Kick it, Greg!
Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight program. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight in just a few minutes at 1800 UTC. In African club football, one of Ivory Coast's top sides is in action this weekend in the CAF Confederation Cup tournament. Our Daybreak Africa sportsman Mark Ouma runs down the fixtures for us.
Ivory Coast's ASEC Mimosa welcomes South Africa's Kaizer Chiefs as Morocco's Difa Hassani Jadida hosts Egypt's El Ahly in Orange Africa Confederation's Cup action tomorrow Saturday. Tunisia's Bizertin plays Zambia's Nkana, while in an all-Malian affair, Joliba face AS Real de Bamako. Elsewhere, Angola's Petro Atletico encounter Cameroon's Cotton Sport. Ghana's Mediama play Congo Brazzaville's AC Leopards, Tunisia's Etoile du Sahel engage Guinea's Horoya, and Nigeria's Bayelsa face Ivory Coast's Sewe Sports. In Egypt, the draws for the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers take place in Cairo on Sunday. Preliminary round ties take place in July, with the main group qualifiers expected to run from September to November.
This is Sonny's Idol Sports.
Meanwhile, Uganda's world marathon champion Stephen Kiprotich is favored to emerge Nile Special Uganda Sports Press Association, USPA, Sports Personality of the Year at the award gala in Kampala tomorrow Saturday. Kenya's world and Olympics 3,000-meter steeplechase champion Ezekiel Kemboi is a special guest at the annual function. Finally, Athletics Federation of Nigeria staged their second Golden League meeting at the University of Ilorin in Kwara State, Southwest Nigeria tomorrow Saturday. Home-based Nigerian athletes who have been in residential training since last year are vying for the qualifying standards for the British Commonwealth Games and the Africa Senior Athletics Championships later this year. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
This is Africa. Tamina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very excited. Ni chabulile. Hola.
Cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Friday night with three first-round games. Here in Washington, just a few blocks from our Voice of America headquarters, my beloved Washington Wizards will host the Chicago Bulls. The magical Wizards hold a 2-0 lead in this best-of-7 game series. Remember, VOA basketball fans, throughout the NBA playoffs, the first team to win 4 games in each series advances. Also Friday night, the Brooklyn Nets are at home against the Toronto Raptors. This series is tied at 1-1. And the Portland Trail Blazers will host the Houston Rockets. Portland hosts a 2-0 lead in this series. In NBA playoff action Thursday night, the Atlanta Hawks defeated the visiting Indiana Pacers 98-85. The Hawks lead this series 2-1. The Memphis Grizzlies got past the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder 98-95 in overtime to take a 2-1 lead in that series. And finally, out west, in a matchup between two California-based clubs, the Los Angeles Clippers edged the Golden State Warriors 98-96. Clippers in front now, 2-1. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Greg Burns for his technical support of the program. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.